Thank you, Father, for this morning. And this morning, we just ask for your blessing on Daniel. I ask that you would bless him, you would speak to him, and you would speak through him. I ask that his words would be simple but profound, and that we would our ears would be open, and we would hear what you have for each one of us individually. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I walked in the door, and I felt God in here. That was exciting. So where are you at in your Christian walk? The question that I have on my heart this morning, do you want it straight in the front door or sugar-coated in the back door today? Do you want me to speak what I feel should be spoken, or do you want me to tone it down a little bit so it doesn't hurt anyone? Okay, I have a question. Are you sexually pure? What does sexual purity look like before marriage and even after marriage? Are we free from lust? Are we free from masturbation? Are we free from pornography? Are we sexually pure? And if so, are we walking in the path and in the destiny and in the anointing that God has for us? Or are we held back by sexual addiction / pornography or whatever you want to call it? This will impact your life. If a person is sexually pure and upright before God, they will be able to be launched out into the kingdom with anointing and with passion and with authority. Statistics show 7 out of 10 pastors in the U.S. are involved in pornography. That's not good. These pastors are hindering their churches, they're hindering the nation, and they're hindering the world. Because God has designed us to go forth, He has designed us to excel in His presence and to shake up the world for Him. I have worked with a number of people that had all kinds of sexual addictions in different ways, men and women. At the bottom of someone that is stuck in immorality, there is always a person that is crying for deliverance, a person that is crying for help, and a person that is crying for freedom. They all say, I really don't want this, but I have no idea how to get out of it. How do we get rid of that? I was involved in immorality for many years, and I thought I would never become free from it. I am today. But I chose to recognize that it's wrong. I chose to kick it out, and I chose to walk it out. And the walk out was where the battle was the most intense and where the rubber meets the road. One of my friends was addicted to pornography for a number of years. And it seemed he could barely break through from it. And he had to come to the point where he realized it was wrong. And in the midst of it, when he was tempted, he chose to go the opposite way every time, time after time after time after time, until he was free from it. And if he did, you can too. We need to be willing to face reality. There is, behind every single addiction, be it tobacco addiction, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, pornography addiction, addiction to power, whatever, there is always a vacuum in our lives at the time we started following these lusts. We need to go back and look at what was happening in our lives when we started walking down that road. A lot of people, it was families breaking up, it was church problems, parents divorcing, they got raped, numerous things. But we need to go there. We need to face reality and realize that actually was not pretty what happened. Either be it something that you did you should not have done, or that someone did to you that they should not have done. Either way, we need to repent and we need to forgive. We need to invite God into the presence, invite God into that void, and be healed. I have seen people get delivered from it two ways. I have seen people get delivered from it in 1 second. And I have seen other people have to walk it out for half a year or 2 years till they felt they were completely clean from it. But are you committed to going the whole way, no matter what? It is very important for us as men and as fathers to step up to the plate, to man up, and be a man of God, a man of integrity, and a man of honesty, and a man of love, purity. If men can be transformed, it can transform families, which transforms churches, which transforms local government and towns and cities, which transforms states, then you have nation and nations. Us men need to rise up. We need to step up. We need to say no to the devil and say yes to God. However, it requires a choice. It requires a choice to be completely sold out and to let go of the stuff that is holding us back. Bitterness, jealousy, pride, arrogance. It needs to leave us. And the speed that that happens is going to depend on our willingness to go there. Because when that happens, we might yelp and scream and holler along the way because the flesh is being crucified. So we can back off a little bit so it's not so painful and have the long, hard journey until God, we're all in, and holler for a while, but in the end, we're at least delivered. Is this making sense? This is one area that did not make sense to me because I thought a person is born again, they should be free from all this stuff. It wasn't my experience. But I've come to realize that when a person becomes born again, their spirit man, their spirit becomes whole, becomes transformed, and becomes alive. And we need to walk it out the whole way. And it's in that walk out, there's a lot of Christians are stuck in there. Oh, they're born again. Oh, hallelujah, God is here. And that there's some good and there's some bad in that. Where bad comes in is where we don't face reality and realize that we cannot justify our mistakes and our sins because we're following Jesus. Oh, I repent and do it again. Oh, I repent, do it again. I repent and do it again. I repent, stop it and grow up. That's really what needs to happen. We need to say no. If we get tempted, we have to step back and say no. It is that simple. The hard part is walking that no out. We can. I did. You can too. God has created us for so much more. A lot of the church is stuck. God requires everything. He is holy, He is pure, and the closer we get to Him, the more holy and pure we have to become. A lot of the church, where I see most of the people in the church today, as they became born again, and they said, God, I want to go all out for you. So they start going, and God, they deal with this, and they screech to a stop. And they stay there for the next 30 years. What we need to do is realize, yeah, this is painful, but the reason it is painful is because I am drawing closer to God. He's going to shine in those dark corners of our hearts, and He's going to say, go there. Once we push through that, we can actually experience more of Him because we just drew closer to Him. We can actually slide into the gates, not facing all this stuff. We're going to have a miserable life, even if we're born again. I want no parts of that. I want a born again, abundant, passionate life, and I want it for all of you too. However, I can't get hung up with people that don't want to go there. Which I have to watch myself with that because I really desire it for others. So what do you want? Do you want to go all the way? Or you just want to hang around church and do the churchy thing? And
go all the way.
Yeah. It requires crucifixion of the flesh. When we say all the way, God literally believes us. And later on, something comes along, like, what in the world is this? And God's like, well, you said you're willing to go all the way. This needs to be dealt with so you can go out there where you want to go to. And you have a choice of stopping here and being a Christian, but not experiencing all this stuff here when He designed you to go there. takes commitment. My wife and I have had an interesting journey where we've been married 3.5 years. We never had a home. Our possessions fit in a couple boxes. However, we have chosen to be mobile so God can take us wherever He wants to go, wherever He wants us to go to. And for us, it's what God wanted at this season in life. Later on, I believe it's going to happen. And my wife, she has a nesting instinct. It's something we desire for and something we expect to happen in the future. I don't know when. But we need to be willing to face whatever and anything. Idols will be cast down if we tell God, I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to. He might jerk your business away and tell you to sell it. The reason being, if that is an idol, He either needs to help you deal with it, or if that doesn't work, He will take it from you if you give Him your permission long enough. I am saying if it is an idol, if it's not an idol, it can be used for the kingdom. God is very passionate about this. Too many times we tend to scream and screech when a crucifixion happens, but it has got to happen. We need to continually repent. We need to continually forgive and go there. We need to forgive Dad. We need to forgive Mom. We need to forgive the school teacher. We need to forgive ourselves for wherever we messed up. We need to forgive others where they hurt us. I have come to believe if we can truly forgive everyone that ever wronged us, and if we can truly forgive ourselves, we will be unstuck. We have worked with people. We have worked with 3, 4, about 7 different people groups in multiple countries already, and they all had the same issues. And I was actually slightly shocked about this. I just assumed that these different people might have different issues, and some of them do, but they all have the same identity problems. Christians or non-Christians, most of them have identity issues. And it is identity issues that keep us from stepping up into our position of passion, of authority, and going out and doing what God wants us to do. One of my favorite chapters is Isaiah 61, the first couple verses. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." There is a lot of brokenhearted and captive, and people in captivity around us. Are we passing them by? Or do we briefly share a couple seconds of love? We spent 6 months in Iraq, where we were working in a medical clinic in a refugee camp. And our job was to do triage. They had too many patients going to the clinic. So they had 3 of us Americans go in there and turn the people home that didn't need medical help bad enough. What we soon realized was we had these people come through almost every time we were in. Same people. They wanted a 20 or 30 second time slot with us because they saw something they wanted. They had fake symptoms, they had fake complaints, and go through and get their medication and probably throw them away or give them to someone else. And 2 days later, they'd come back again because they wanted the brief 20, 30, 40 seconds of interaction with a believer. They didn't know this. Do we realize the impact we can have in our workplace, in our churches? The churches are filled with hurting people. The church is designed for the weak and the crippled to become healed and to be mentored and discipled and sent out. A lot of churches actually don't realize this. Are we manifesting the love of Christ? Are we going where He wants us to go to? When I became born again, I didn't know a whole lot. I just knew that something happened, and I had all these questions. I grew up in the Ordered Amish Church. I was a very dysfunctional person. I was spent years on antidepressants. I was suicidal. I ended up in the hospital. seeing psychologists and psychiatrists and goofy stuff like that. But I realized there's something more out there. And when I got it, I had all these questions about, according to the Bible, this is not lining up. How do we line it up? The true reality is Jesus hung there for all of us. Are we utilizing the cross? Are we utilizing the resurrection power beyond the cross? If we are stuck with forgiving someone, the truth is it is paid for. However, we don't have access to it till we're freely receiving. It's as simple as saying, "Lord, I receive. I believe and I receive." The healing, the cleansing, the forgiveness is there. Every single area of our life that we're stuck at, we can go this way and God will come and take it. Every area. I don't care what you did. It's there. We need to allow him to take it. He's a gentleman. He won't force himself. When we say, yes, we're ready, he'll just come and take it. So there's a number of areas in my life where I told God, I want to deal with this. I repent. I forgive. And I went there, and it barely shifted for a season, a fairly long time. So what I did then, I just continued praying, and I continued praying, and I continued praying until I broke through. It was not an option for me to back off. There was issues in my life that I was up against for a year or two. And I wanted to break through, and partway through, yeah, I was tempted to back off, but I did not, because I wanted the more of God. I wanted freedom from this thing. So I continued praying into it, and I continued praying into it, and I continued praying into it until it broke, and it did break eventually. Every single area that you're stuck in today, you will not always be here if you continue pressing into it. If you back off and say it's not worth it, too hard, you're going to stay there. However, if you make a decision to press in, if you make a decision to continue on, you will eventually break through. Because Jesus paid for it. He has forgiven all. What would happen if we would truly let go of all in us? Allow him to take over. All. I'm talking about those little corners down in your heart where he's, you know, we just stay away from that because it's icky and scary, and we can do that. But if we want all of God, we need to go there and face reality and say, I did this or this happened to me. We need to repent and or forgive and be healed. When we become born again, our spirit man becomes new. Our soul needs to be refined and needs to be cleaned out. It needs healing. Because it's the soul where the issues hang out at. The Bible talks about working out our salvation. Spirit man is inside. We work out the junk in between the inside and the outside. Interesting thing is when that happens, people become physically healed. I had a brain injury when I was 14 where I almost passed away. Doctors told me I'd be brain damaged for life. I had 8 after effects of that head injury. Today I have 1 left. And the only way I know it happened is because I chose to get real with God and I chose to take one step at a time and walk it out. And as I did that, God started healing my brain. I had back surgery 4 years ago. Doctors told me by the time I'm 40, I'll be a cripple. I'm healed today. And I started following God. That's all I did. I just followed God with everything I had. I didn't hold back. But I was aware of, although every once in a while I come across an area that I'm holding back and don't know it. God can heal you. He can line up your life on every single level, spirit, soul, and body. If we allow him, if we freely receive what happened at the cross. And then we need to step into resurrection power, where we get the authority, where we get the anointing, where we get the passion. A lot of Christians become born again, and they lay at the foot of the cross the rest of their lives. And they miss the more of God. I believe, and I'm not totally certain on this, but my belief is, at this point, might change tomorrow. My belief is, we become born again at the cross, and then God launches us forth. And he launches us forth with the full power of the cross behind us. It takes commitment. And it takes pressing in. What are you ready for? Are you ready for the all? Do you want the all? It will come with a price. It'll be painful for a season. However, when the painful time comes, there's times when I'm in a painful area that I realize the hell I came from back there isn't worse than the hell I feel right now. Because I'm in an unhealed part of my heart and it's hurts. You know what I'm talking about? Some of those areas do hurt. But we need to go back, invite Jesus in there, repent and forgive, and allow ourselves to be healed. If it comes up again tomorrow, we go there again. I do not believe that forgive and forget is from God. I believe we truly forgive, and the areas that some people have taught us to forget can be used as a testimony. Don't throw a past life away. Get it redeemed and sanctified and refined. And it's part of who you are. It's your story. I usually thought that I had a bad childhood. And in some senses, I did. We were a very dysfunctional family. A lot of issues and a bunch of junk happened. And it wasn't pleasant. I suddenly realized about 8 months ago that now when I look back at my childhood, I think all I see is fun and laughter. Because the painful areas are sanctified and redeemed today, and I don't notice them anymore. Every once in a while, there's an area that comes up. Then I just repent for whatever or forgive whoever I need to forgive and be healed. But something shifted inside of me when I realized I no longer have an unhappy childhood. Because the unhappy, the dark places, the anger, whatever happened, left. Jesus took care of it. And it's filled with light and it's filled with glory. So how serious are you? Verse 3, Isaiah 61 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It's there for us. And it comes with walking out. It comes with taking one step at a time, taking one step at a time, and taking the next step, and the next step, and walking it out. If you come across a painful spot and it hurts, find someone that cares about you. It helps to talk. And then pray. Forgive the people. Repent for where you messed up. And invite God in and be healed. Pornography can be broken. Masturbation can be broken. Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, pride, anger can be healed. It takes a commitment to go there and taking the next step. If God does it in one day, that's really exciting. If he does it in half a year, that's also really exciting. Just because he delivered this one quicker than you doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. Just submit deeper to God and he can do it quicker. I found out in my own life the deeper levels that I submit and I surrender to him, the quicker he can take me where he wants me to go to. He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. He has a vision for us. Are you connecting with that in your life? Do you see where God wants to take you? 6 months, 2 years, 20 years, 80 years out. A lot of people tend to shut that area down because it hurts too much. And I was there for many years. The other thing that is very important while walking through this process, your feelings may not always be telling the truth. If your feelings tell you to give up, what is the truth? God, what is it? Feet stand pressed ahead. Please don't go by your feelings. Do you understand this? Our feelings reflect on what's happening inside here at the moment. And if we're in an area that's not been fully sanctified and cleaned out yet, our feelings may not manifest the truth of God. I made a solid commitment to go by the truth, no matter what I'm feeling. So now if I know the truth here, but I'm not feeling it, I'm feeling this stuff here, I continue going back to the truth and going back to the truth and going back to the truth until it lines up. And it normally eventually does. There's times it lines up in 1 minute, 1 hour, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. Depends what I'm dealing with. Depends how submitted and surrendered I am in that area. Stick with the truth. Your feelings are valuable. However, they do not always manifest the truth. Does this make sense? The Christian church today is too many times not manifesting what God wants believers to manifest. They live a life of puke and vomit and expect their children to become believers. Is it working? It's not. We need to live upright lives. We need to walk a walk that people see something they want. It's going to be very hard for us to attract people to the kingdom if we're not walking a kingdom walk. We need to repent. We need to forgive. We need to be healed. I spent many years knowing this, but not knowing how to push through. The clearest answer I know how right now is to press through it and press through it. And press through it, and press through it, and press through it, and press through it till the breakthrough comes. It helps to have a couple people around you that are supporting you. And suddenly you might come across something where you break through in 2 minutes. That's a lot of fun. I have learned a lot by working with other people. I work with people 7 days a week. And I have, during that process, I have learned a lot about myself and a lot about what works for people and doesn't work for people. Then I'm my own guinea pig. I walk out what I teach. Most days it's fun. I'm talking about the guinea pig part. Some days it gets painful, but I realize that somewhere I'm not lining up to the truth yet, and I choose to go there. He desires intimacy. It's available if we're willing to press in for it. I'm finding out the more serious I get with God, the more intimacy I feel from Him. The more I connect with God, the more I connect with my wife and children. The more I connect with God, the more I connect with people around me. And if God would fully crank open through me, I don't know what would happen. I want to see that someday. And I need to walk the path and walk the journey so God can trust me with His anointing. And so He can trust you with His anointing. And He keeps giving us tests. And as we pass the tests, He gives us more anointing. He gives us more authority. He gives us more passion. He gives us more of what He wants us to have. He will not give us what we're not ready to receive yet. Because it's dangerous. People get hurt like that, and God knows this. If we're ready for the next level, just tell God that. I have news for you. He will believe you. Funny things happen. Where did you come from, Jariah? So where are we at? Where is your joy coming from? Is the joy coming from your wife, your husband, your children, your school teacher? Coming from your dad? Is it coming from your heavenly Father? Where is it coming from? How can I word this? Our joy needs to come from God. We can get joy from other people. However, we may not allow our identity to be on something other than God, or it is an idol. We can have our wives for an idol. We can have our husbands for an idol. We can have our job for an idol. However, we can have God as our Father, and therein is our identity, and everything else is a bonus. Everything else is a bonus. My wife is a bonus to me. God is where it's at. And we connected, and God blessed it, and we got married. That's a bonus. If we have a need for anything other than God, it is an entitlement spirit. At that point, a part of us will feel we are entitled to it because I feel I need it to make me happy or to make me feel good. God should be that person. We enter into his presence and we talk. We do things. Sometimes we don't even talk. We're just there. It needs to be a lifestyle. For many years, I had this mindset where I need to go in the prayer room and I need to pray. And every time I tried that, no, not every time, a lot of times, it did not work. I couldn't figure this thing out. I'm doing the prayer thing. Come on. What was going on? And I recognized God wants me. What seems to work the best for me is to come into the presence of God and just be. And sometime into it, I might pray, and there's times I don't. God wants us. We need to enter into his presence and be there. In that process, he might ask you to pray, or he might just sit there and talk with you, or he'll just talk, or there's times that he's here and you're here, and that's all that happens, but it feels really good. That's intimacy with him. I still go and pray. However, it is not my primary focus. My primary focus is him. Not speaking to him and him speaking back. My primary focus is him, and me speaking to him and him speaking to me happens automatically. There should be our identity. The deeper we realize that in our hearts, the quicker these addictions fall away. And the more solid we become in who we are and who God made us to be. I believe God has a whole lot more for us than any of us realize. I'm not quite sure what it looks like. I have more of an idea than I did a couple of years ago. Hopefully I'll be there a couple of years from now too. I want everything he has for me. However, I need to be willing to pay the price and go there. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to commit and be committed? When I look at people like Todd White, when I look at Heidi Baker, you name it, doesn't have to be any of them, but when I look at people that have a lot of authority, that are making a huge difference in the world, I look at them and I know at some point in their lives they walk through hell. God will not give us something big. He will not give us anointing or authority without us walking through the test and walking through the fire to receive it. He is not a handout daddy. He's not. He requires tests. And as we pass our tests, that's when the anointing, that's when the authority comes in. When I look at those people, I realize there's stuff and a journey behind what people see that is probably worse than what most of us are willing to face. Meaning worse, meaning more painful. They didn't get there just because. They got there because they walked through hell. That is my belief. And I am willing to go there. Because I want what God has for you. And I want everyone around me to have that too. Are you committed? Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for your passion. We thank you for your purpose. And we thank you for our identity. Lord, we call forth anointing upon this church. We ask for the next level, we ask for the next test, and we order the next test and schedule the next test and the next breakthrough. And we call forth the next level of authority, the next level of anointing in Jesus' name upon all of us. Amen. God bless you.